Welcome to the Exhale Podcast, a candid conversation about current matters relating to respiratory, diagnostic, and lung health. Our hosts are Mark Russell, Marketing and Communications Manager, and Troy Pridgen, Executive Vice President of Sales and Operations for Vitalograph in North America, a global leader in respiratory diagnostics. We had an interesting conversation with two gentlemen of Eagle Telemedicine, Jason Povio and Matt Goggin. They have an advanced inpatient telemedicine solution for night shift care, specialty coverage, and staffing gap support for hospitals.
Well, welcome, Jason and Matt, to our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you and discuss what it is that we do.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
Well, please give us a little background on both of you, education experience, and what you guys' current responsibilities are.
Sure. I'm not a big fan of talking about myself, but I have a diverse background in systems engineering and healthcare administration, quality management, a little over a decade now of experience working across large integrated health systems. I am currently the president and chief operating officer here at Eagle Telemedicine. I have oversight for essentially all aspects of the business outside of anything that has to do with the numbers from a financial perspective. And I'm delighted, I feel blessed to be able to do what I do every day to steward a team of amazing individuals and creating access to care for communities across the country.
This is Matt Goggin. I am the active senior VP of sales and marketing right now. Just to dovetail what Jason said, it's a pleasure working every day trying to provide hospitals with a solution set to have them better engage with patients across the country. That's it pretty much in a nutshell. I come from a tech background, and the similarities between tech solutions and telemedicine solutions are incredibly similar in the sense of you are engaging with an entity to help improve what they do on a daily basis to help their customer base.
We've certainly seen that there's a lot of interest out there in tech and telehealth, and particularly since COVID, even from our perspective, we get a lot of questions routinely on those types of things. Can you tell us a little bit about how a hospital telehealth program works, and does it benefit a rural hospital program in particular?
Yeah, so absolutely. The mechanics of how it works are somewhat fairly simple. There's always the nuances and the devils in the details sort of element of everything. But at the end of the day, what we work to do through technology, enabled through technology, to really facilitate a connection between a physician and a patient. At the end of the day, it's about connecting the patient with care needs to a physician that can meet those needs. And the way that we work to develop and design our programs is to really emulate the care that would be delivered on the ground. So when you say telemedicine or you say telehealth, a lot of people immediately have thoughts about what that might look like or what that is. Certainly the element of the physician's not physically there and how does that take away from the care that I'm going to receive. But at the end of the day, we work really hard to integrate and emulate what would be done on the ground. We do that through very detailed workflows and attention to the details of the care setting itself. And while I'm virtually being present, what are the different tactics that can be deployed to really ensure that a quality care setting and consultation takes place? Healthcare has always been a team sport. You hear the term multidisciplinary, and it's important to kind of continue to think about that. And telemedicine really forces, or it's kind of the epitome of it being a team sport, because ultimately we do have to rely on hands that are physically present to facilitate certain elements of physical examination when needed. For example, having a nurse being able to place the stethoscope on a patient and then move the stethoscope in accordance with physician's desires so that they can listen to what they're trying to listen to, pick up on auscultations within the heart or whatever, such that a complete and comprehensive examination can take place. There's a lot of work that goes into the technology side of things to be able to have a functioning device. We call them a cart that allows for the physicians to have far end control, meaning they're able to control the device. They're able to control the volume of the speakers and of the sound. They're able to control the camera by being able to pan, tilt, and zoom as they so desire to be able to view whatever it is they want to view as a part of the physical examination, and really just interact in a very dynamic way with not only the patient, but family or friends that might be in the room as well to, again, provide that quality care.
So what type of specialists do you work with to develop this program out in these either rural areas? Are they all rural hospitals, or are there some metropolitan hospitals that you guys work with?
So here at Eagle, I mean, we work across every type of care setting and a broad spectrum of partners. So we cover hospitals as small as 3 beds, referred to as micro hospitals. And we have programs in hospitals as large as 700-800 beds. So, you know, the solutions, and there's an opportunity or a form factor for just about every care setting, regardless of size. Predominantly, our centralized area of care is in probably around 150 beds or less. They're in more rural-based settings or more community, a little bit, I would say, low on the lower end spectrum of what you would call urban, but major metropolitan areas. And there's a lot of benefit in those care settings where it's a very challenging scenario for those facilities and those communities to recruit talent. Either they don't truly have enough volume to really support a full-time FTE in any particular specialty, or there's just other dynamics within the area that make it challenging to recruit talent. And so the community essentially goes without access to a particular specialty, has to drive long distances, experiencing long wait times to get in to see specialists. And telemedicine, being a great equalizer, can really create wonderful solutions to that, to ignite access to care and bring that specialty to bear for those patients, for that community, keeping care close to home. Personally, Eagle works across 16-17 medical subspecialties now. I mean, we continue to grow. We continue to subspecialize in some of our specialties. We're now subspecializing into peds as a subspecialty within the specialty, and just really continuing to meet the challenges head on. A lot of what we do, a lot of what we have created, are born out of needs. I'd like to say I've got some crystal ball and sitting back in the lab saying, hey, the next thing we should try to design and go to market with is X. But the reality is people call and ask. And more times than not, the answer is yes, or let's figure it out together. And then that's how something is born for us.
What is the top 5 specialists that are in need out there for your telehealth care?
Sure. So our core 4, I think, represent what's the biggest need that's out there. But there are some areas that are really starting to ignite and grow in need in a post-COVID environment where I think chronic conditions were not really cared for in the way that they were prior to COVID, where there was a lot of focus on more emergency preparedness and surge protection and things. But the 4 core specialties are critical care, intensive care unit coverage and management, hospital medicine with a tremendous amount of nocturnist and night support and surge protection, infectious disease, which was really, really exploded through COVID, but was a big specialty prior to COVID. And then everything within the domain of neurology, from general neurology support to acute stroke and outpatient clinic support. You know, those are the 4 big ones. The 2 specialties that are really starting to take off and have for the last probably 6 to 10 months or so has been cardiology and pulmonology. Just a ton of requests to help fill in gaps, reduce wait times for patients to get into clinics and support some of those chronic conditions like COPD, you know, as a comorbid condition for an acute patient in a hospital setting.
I'd even add to that psychiatry. Because of all the heightened awareness of mental health in the country, we're seeing a heavy demand for psychiatrists out there as well.
That's very interesting. Yeah, we, you know, did several podcasts where we talked to respiratory therapists, you know, during and just after the pandemic. And we certainly saw the toll that it took. As a result, a lot of the respiratory therapists have either left the field. There's not as many that are being currently trained, the enrollments they'd like to see. So that kind of creates this underserved area, particularly, like you said, rural areas, these types of things. It's a big issue that we're facing right now. And since this is a respiratory care podcast, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your telepulmonology program in particular? How does that work?
Yeah, but before Jason jumps into that, I just want to add to something that he said before. When we're talking about the demand for telemedicine, a lot of times we're not looking at the numbers. And as a marketing guy, I'm always looking for the story to tell. What's happening is that, you know, we have a massive population, the baby boomers, that are hitting their senior year. And the demand for healthcare is just skyrocketing. Unfortunately, the number of doctors across all specialties is not increasing at the same speed. So while every hospital would wish that they could have an on-staff specialist for cardiology, ICU, you know, you name it, that is not going to happen. Hospitals need to embrace telemedicine programs, and they're going to have to learn to share.
In the space of pulmonary specifically, it's a specialty like other specialties that has a subset of sort of chronic conditions, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, COPD, asthma. The prevalence of those have certainly increased. If you look at the community needs assessments across the country with an aging population and any other sort of environmental factors that are sort of kind of contributing to the prevalence of these diseases, you know, systems across the country are starting to see an increase in the prevalence of this. And they don't have the physician capacity or bandwidth to meet this head on. And so where telemedicine comes in is it becomes an arm. It becomes a support function within an existing pulmonary department or group where there exists one, or becomes the department or group where it doesn't exist, to provide the ability to see those patients and manage these chronic diseases in a way that limits or mitigates the volume of acute episodes that require admission to an inpatient setting. I mean, we all know the literature about the hospital's not the safest place to be. You know, it obviously serves a purpose from an acute care perspective, but you know, you want to limit your exposure, you want to limit the length of stay when you're in a setting, and it, wherever possible, there's a lot of obviously incentives out there with payers to just avoid having to go to the hospital. And so the request for like pulmonary clinic support has certainly increased to help support patients with these chronic diseases in the overall evaluation and management, care plan, adherence and management with patients. On an inpatient setting side, it's to manage this on the acute setting. Patients that are admitted to a hospital have a pulmonary comorbidity and need support. That facility is more apt to probably transfer that patient to a different level of care, you know, forcing travel for not family members, the patient themselves, to receive that sort of level of care. And telemedicine really bridges that gap. It allows for facilities to tap into the bandwidth of organizations such as Eagle and really access their specialists to drive that care for them.
Yeah, one of the things that we've noticed as well is that, you know, with exacerbations, sometimes respiratory could be a bit reactive. We would wait until somebody was becoming symptomatic and then we would bring them in for testing. With the telemedicine approach, what we're finding is that we can also be more proactive. We can get out in front of it, start to detect exacerbations earlier on, which, as you said, keeps them out of the hospital in the first place. You know, I would imagine that that might be a benefit of your model as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about reactive airway disease. Obviously, the mindset within healthcare as a whole has shifted over the years and is far more focused on prevention and proactive management. And again, it's all in the vein of keeping people well, keeping them out of the hospital and on a beneficial pathway for their overall general health. And again, a lot of communities don't have that access and ease of access, if you will. But when it does occur and you do need care in a hospital, we can come alongside an attending physician that may be not as comfortable in managing pulmonary disease states or the comorbidity that the patient presents with. And we provide them that level of support so that the patient can stay there and be managed effectively.
Have you seen when a hospital signs up with your program, what are the reactions of the patients for the first time seeing this type of setup?
You know, it's a great question. We get asked it a lot. And believe it or not, the patients themselves in the community, the general overall acceptance is really high. Patients want to be cared for. And while we have this potential paradigm or stereotype or whatever mental blockage is like, well, but it's not a physician. What we find is patients don't care. Patients just want to be cared for. And we hire the right kind of clinical talent that when they come onto the screen and they start to interact with the patients, all the other noise of this is on a screen, he's not physically, he or she's not physically here in the room, all that goes away. And they really very quickly realize I'm talking to an actual physician. I'm talking to somebody who is concerned about my welfare. We're interacting in a way that makes me feel good about a care plan that's going to be developed to move me forward productively. And it really is quite amazing. What we see, interestingly enough, is we actually see more initial sort of resistance about how this is going to work from staff, right? And it's the nurses on the ground that are used to seeing the physician walk on the unit or come into the clinic for the day. So we get a little bit more of trepidation from staff than we do from patients. And it really, it's that mindset of like, the patient just wants to be cared for. and all the other stuff is kind of just noise.
That actually makes a lot of sense. It's not a common thing for them, whereas the staff would be more used to the different model. It brings up an interesting question, though, and that is, you know, you've got obviously a network of doctors. You have, you know, multiple sites in various different states and so on. How do you manage the credentialing of the doctors throughout these different areas? And do you use your own EMR system or do you basically plug into the electronic medical records of the hospital that is your client?
Fantastic. Two great questions. So the first is we manage it very carefully and very compliantly. So we are Joint Commission accredited. Very proud of that, but it does require a lot of compliance with a lot of different rules and standards. So Eagle has its own medical executive committee, its own credentials board. We run physicians through a very rigorous process to certainly validate their credentials, malpractice history review, reference checks, work history, I think up to 10 years where applicable, to make sure that the physicians are properly vetted and are going to represent Eagle well. We have an internal staff. I call them a little bit of a mini army that do this work and do it quite well. We are then able to really leverage from a Joint Commission perspective, proxy credentialing or delegated credentialing with many of our facilities who are also Joint Commission accredited. And if not, we will walk through the process to get physicians fully credentialed with our facilities through their application, their MEC, and their credentials board process. It's a very tedious, time-intensive process, but we wrap our physicians with all the support that they need to do that. We do all of the legwork, if you will. I mean, the only thing we can't do, obviously, is represent that we are the physician themselves. So there's obviously engagement with the physician for signing of certain forms and attesting to things that they need to do as representing them as their own identity. But we have a really good process of supporting that with our physicians. We have a little over 300 physicians now helping to support 450 programs in about 34 states now. So we've gotten really good at doing this. And to sort of amplify that magnitude a little bit, we do not maintain our own electronic medical record or health system. We take on the burden of integrating into each one of our clients and making sure that our physicians have the appropriate training to navigate those EMRs effectively with great efficacy. So it's a lot of work that we take on here. We have a great team of operators that support our physicians. Because at the end of the day, like I said at the beginning, it's about facilitating the connection between a physician and a patient. And if we can make that happen, the rest will take care of itself.
Well, this has been fascinating. Earlier on in this year, we interviewed a respiratory therapist out of Oklahoma City that had a pulmonary rehab program online. And you're absolutely correct. People are going to have to start embracing this telehealth initiative because there's just not enough physicians out there to take care of the population, and people will have to share. So where can either a hospital or a physician who is interested in your program find out more about Eagle Telemedicine?
There are a number of places. First place to start is to go to the website, eagletelemedicine.com. And basically, they'll find and see the whole journey that we bring hospitals through, from the specialties that we offer as to the benefits and efficiencies of telemedicine. We want to educate the hospitals from zero all the way, you know, from A all the way to Z when it comes to the education. A lot of times there are hospitals that are well-versed in what telemedicine brings to the table, and then other times there isn't. So we find ourselves having to always be prepared to help them out from an educational standpoint.
Well, great. Hey, this has been very interesting. We appreciate you being on our podcast. Anything else you'd like to add and say to our listeners about Eagle Telemedicine?
I can jump in real quick. One of the benefits of what I do is hearing from the hospitals firsthand. And I believe it was last spring where we were able to conduct about 12 to 15 different interviews and walking through that process. And the funny thing is that every single one of them said in the beginning there was resistance from the chief nursing officers to the admin people at the desk. They were a little hesitant because they weren't that familiar with telemedicine. And what happened was that there was a little bit of resistance. We would engage in the program. And after the program was in effect for about 2 or 3 weeks, all the nurses would come back to the administration and say, why didn't we do this sooner? They were just staunch believers in telemedicine as a practice. One of the other kind of myths that we always like to kind of add some color commentary to is people think since it's virtual that it's not personal. And it's quite the opposite. When a patient is engaging with a monitor, talking directly to the physician, there are no distractions. And this is what we're hearing from patients, that they truly enjoy the engagement because it's them one-on-one. Even though it's through a device, the doctor isn't being interrupted by nurses coming in and out of the room. They're not sitting there fiddling with the files in front of them. The patients feel as though they have 100% of the physician's attention during that engagement. And that has been something that has really shot telemedicine forward, because that was one of the apprehensions from the patient side. But we're seeing the exact opposite. They're enjoying the engagements with the virtual physicians.
Well, Jason, Matt, we really appreciate you being on our podcast. And I'm sure our listeners have really got another glimpse of what is out there in telehealth. And this sounds like a fantastic, successful program. And we wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Exhale Podcast. Don't forget to follow us for upcoming new episodes and recommend this podcast to friends and family. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again on the Exhale Podcast, brought to you by Vitalograph.